Blog Talk Radio.
Boss Lady Publishing.
Trying to maintain, you know how we do, writing, trying to get those hot books in the hands of our readers as soon as possible. So that is my mission. Now, what's going on with Mr. Aaron Bebo?
I am over here relaxed and chilling.
Oh, okay. All right. That's a good thing. Got to be relaxing and chilling. There's so much going on. We got so much work to do. The year is almost half over. Can y'all believe it? We're in the fifth month of this year, and it is moving fast. We will be celebrating Christmas before you know it, Leisha.
Yes.
I know.
We'll be dragging those Christmas lights right back out.
Love the Christmas tree out the closet.
Yeah, just don't even take it down. These just fly by so fast. You don't even take nothing down. Just cover it up or something. So, it'll be right back.
Oh, man.
Time is flying.
Oh, no, Mr. wouldn't be having that. He'd be like, after the day after Christmas, he'd be like, you going to leave that up? you ain't taking that down?
Keep it moving. Yeah, but it's a good night here in the clubhouse. We have the honor of interviewing a young adult author, the daughter of a very, very powerful writer, June Miller. He has his young daughter, I think she's 16, Harmony, and she just put out a book, Little Misunderstood, and she is going to be in the clubhouse tonight talking about her new project. I'm excited about it, to see our youth reading, writing, getting those published works out there. That is a true honor and a blessing to see our youth grabbing this, because they're the ones who are going to carry it, you know, once Aaron and I sit down somewhere. They're the ones who are going to keep this writing thing going, keep this movement of literacy, of literature, of great pieces of art. They're going to keep it moving. So I'm glad that they have people to look up to, like she has her dad, a good person, good, genuine person, always happy to interact with him, real honest, stand-up type dude. So I'm really excited about having him and her in here tonight, and getting them in the clubhouse and seeing, you know, what we have to do for our young adult novels. Aaron, how do you feel about the young adult novel movement?
I definitely think that it's a great thing, and I would like to see it pick up. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I really think that our young adults should get more into literature and reading all the way around, not just so much urban fiction either, like just becoming a more well-rounded, you know, reader and everything. And you know, the youth, that gives our youth towards wanting to write and create on their own, so we can see these new ideas, you know, that's blossoming in the minds of these young people, you know. But I really think that it starts first with reading, getting them reading early, and through that, I really feel like we could probably spawn a lot of, you know, proteges.
Yeah, you have a lot of the youth who come, and they are
That's right not there. Me. I don't know who that is.
I put it on hold.
That's actually Tony, but maybe she just wanted to listen.
Yeah, because you know she's traveling. But what was I saying? The young adults with the reading, a lot of the parents at first were really against them reading urban fiction. Like we encountered in the early days of doing those book signings out with Wahida and stuff like that, and seeing like the parents like, oh, no, no, no. But the children pretty much are going behind the parents' backs and going to the libraries and looking for their favorite authors and reading, you know, anyway. You know, they'll stay in the library all day so they can finish, you know, these series that they're following. And then, you know, you have some parents who are real delusional about the fact that their children are exploring or learning different things and they're not sharing things with them. Then you also have another group of parents who are saying, read, you know, read whatever. You know, at least it helps me know what she's into. It gives us time to have open dialogue and conversation about different things that are in the books. And the parents, because, you know, sometimes, you know, you have those working parents who are far and removed from our genre, our type of music, but they said it's helping them get back in tune with society and some of the things that are coming into their young adult lives. So I think that we're getting a more conscious type of parent that's getting them more into the reading and also now writing. What do you think, Aaron?
Definitely. I mean, I just want to definitely see that, it pick up. And as far as the stories, like, you know, it's a different time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I remember growing up, you know, I was watching my mom read Alice Walker.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
You know, years later, I'm reading Terry Woods, you feel me? So it's like, it's a different thing.
Right.
It's a different thing as the time goes on. You're going to have these new generations coming in, and they have to have a voice. These books are detailing, although they're fiction, like, a lot of this stuff speaks to real issues that's going on, and it's also, you know, it highlights the view of what our children are thinking.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it gives a better view to it. What do they see,
mm-hmm,
in the world, you know?
Right. Yeah. Because I just did an interview, and in the interview, something that the lady asked me about, you know, the urban fiction and the different, you know, words that are used. Sometimes, you know, be or, you know, women are in these books and they're doing risque things. And, you know, I was just letting her know that you have to be having these open conversations with them. And also, you can't think that every time a young woman hears that word that she's degraded or feels degraded. Case in point, I have a few 17-year-olds that read in the P-Track. And they hit me up when they were still young adults to tell me that they had read the book, they had really enjoyed it, and that even though it had sexual content, the main thing that they looked at was that Coco was a very strong character. And her being a very strong character in the book, they saw that they wished that they had more strength within themselves and that, you know, her type of character, outside of the fact that, you know, she was laying people down or whatever, you know, they looked at the fact that she had a strong character, she was confident, you know, she spoke out for herself, and a lot of women can't do that, and especially young girls, they find it hard to speak out for themselves. And it made me feel really good because I had no idea that anybody would look at the character like that. They always say she's strong, but to hear a young girl say, I looked at the strength of woman that she was. I looked at the strength of her character. It made me want to be stronger.
Mm-hmm.
Made me feel really good. So, yeah, you know, it's something in everything that we write and that we do.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a matter of, you know, being able to highlight it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
like,
but I'm glad that we
definitely.
Go ahead.
I definitely feel like urban fiction definitely, more so than not, have the books have a message.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of times it's more than just a story just being told. Like, a lot of times you will find messages, you know,
mm-hmm,
throughout the book and, you know, at the end of the book, hopefully.
Mm-hmm.
So it's
mm-hmm
not just dark tales being told. You know, it's definitely real-life situations.
Yeah, you need that. You know what I'm saying? You really do. And like you said, the story's being told, like, about trust and, you know, paying attention. Like, sometimes there'll be things in our books that'll talk about, you know, if you're out and how people can slip you Mickeys, or, you know, the date rape situation, or, you know, going off with men who you don't really know, and things can happen, you know, not talking behind people's back, you know, being a gossip and different things like that. It's a lot of different messages that come across through our genre, even though some may think that it doesn't have a lot of validity or what so have you. There is a lot of messages in what we write. Now, you know, of course, we know a lot of it is fiction because it is fiction. So it's a lot of things that aren't going to teach a lesson. But I think it's up to each parent to have that open dialogue with their child and try to see what they're into and be interested in what they're into. Having Mr. June Miller, him having a young daughter, and obviously he had to find out what she was into or interested in, so he can help cultivate it. So I'm interested in speaking to him tonight, just to see how he was able to, you know, highlight her goal, you know, her goal, her dream, her mission, you know, and that's what it's about, that next generation. What you think, Leisha?
Yeah, definitely.
Absolutely. I definitely agree with that. I'm excited to talk to her to see how, you know, how she feels to have her first novel out and kind of following behind her dad's footsteps and, you know, just enter into a totally different kind of world, you know, because becoming an author opposed to being a reader is kind of different. You know, it's a different world. Readers, we have our own little world, but when you become an author and you switch sides, it's kind of different. So I'm interested to just ask her, you know, what made her want to do this and just see what's on her young mind. I think this is definitely a wonderful thing that she's doing in her life. I actually read the book, and it for her, I'll have to find out how old she is because I'm like, really? I thought she was 16. This is a very developed book. You wouldn't think that she was 16. I mean, it's not like raunchy or anything like that, but just thinking outside of the age of a 16-year-old. I mean, it's like she's thinking ahead of her years. So I'm interested just to talk to her and see.
Yeah, it's going to be great. And she's going to, I'm quite sure she's going to blow our mind with it. So we're going to have some music going. Then we're going to bring in her father, correct? And then we're going to bring her on, right?
Absolutely. He's going to wear the publisher hat for a minute.
What is his ETA? What time are we bringing him on in here?
7:15.
At 7:15? Okay. Well, we can go ahead on and drop that beat first. We got to drop that beat. There should be no one touching my buttons, only Aaron. I don't know. Leisha, did you jump over there and start touching buttons? I hope you did. You know I got to have my beat first. You know I got to drop my beat. Aaron, you handle the beat. Alicia, get off my button.
No, I didn't see. I didn't hear any music.
You should.
No.
Ready, B? Go here. Look for me, young B, cruising down the west side highway, doing what we like to do, highway. Eyes behind shades, what's next is the reason all of my dates been blind dates, but today I got my Ferrowiz girl with me. I'm mashing the gas, she's grabbing the wheel. It's trippy how hard she rides with me. The new Bobby and Whitney, only time we don't speak is on Sex in the City. She gets carry fever, but soon as the show's over, she's right back to me and my soldier. Cause mommy's a rider, and I'm a roller. Put us together, how they gon' stop both us? Whatever she lacks, I'm right over her shoulder. When I'm off track, mommy is keeping me focused. So let's lock this down like it's supposed to be. The 03, Bonnie and Clyde, Hov and B. Holla, all I need in this life is sin. It's me
whenever you mad about something, it won't be that. Oh no, it won't be that. I don't be at places where we can't be at with no be at. Oh no, you won't be that. And no, I ain't perfect. Nobody walking this earth's surfaces. But girlfriend, work with the kid. I keep you working at Hermes Birkin bag, Manolo Blahnik Tim's, aviator lens, 600 drops, Mercedes Benz. The only time you wear a Burberry to swim. And I don't have to worry, only worry is him. She do anything necessary for him, and I do anything necessary for her. So don't let the necessary occur. Yep. All I need in this life is sin. It's me and my girlfriend.
Get ready to bring him in here and see what's going down.
Hey, Jim.
Brooklyn.
How are you?
In the building. Yeah. What's good, June? What's good, Aaron? Leisha. Is that my girl, Nene?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. I'm over here. They let me come. They let me come to the show.
Nah, that's what's up. Last time you was out of town doing your numbers. I already know. What's poppin', yo? I'm so excited to be on here today, yo. It's my word. I'm real, real
yes.
excited.
Yes, yes. We're
happy
excited.
To have you back.
Yes,
yeah,
and thanks for bringing her on here to share her work. Yeah.
It wasn't that hard. She's nervous, though, but she going to be good. I told Lisa that already. She mad nervous. But she all right. Just like when she did the book signing. She was mad nervous and everything, but she did her numbers. Can't
front. That's
she
a blessing.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah,
so mad good, love.
That's a good thing. Well, we'll let you take us, you know, through that walk, through that journey. We know that you're a best-selling author. Your work is phenomenal. Here it is. You have your daughter. She's coming right up behind you in your footsteps, putting out a great piece of art that she's putting in the reader's hands. Give us a little bit on how that came about and how the difference is being a publisher and doing the young adult novel.
Okay. Well, it's real funny. I'm gonna start it from when I first started the company, first publishing. When I started this publishing company, I was battling trying to find a name for the company, and the name of the company is Foreshadow Publishing, and it's spelled different. It's a play on words, and because Foreshadow is actually a literary term. But I wanted it to mean something to my kids, you know. I wanted to like build a legacy and leave it for my kids to give them something to look forward to, you know, being entrepreneurs if they want to learn a business or even if they wanted to become authors. And the title Foreshadow is spelled F-O-U-R. I have four kids. All four of my kids, their names all begin with S-H-A. And dough is about getting that money. So I named it Foreshadow, and then I have in that logo, I have four kids. You know, it's four, two boys and two girls. And that's how it came. She's my oldest. And I remember when
when she first saw my first book, she wasn't old enough to read it. I'm sure she did. She told me she did read it. She wasn't old enough to read it at the time, and I had gave her her mother a copy. And I told her, I sat her down, and I said, you know, I named this company after all of y'all, and I said, you should be the one that pioneers this to be the first signed author in the company. And I kept my word. I said I would wait and see if, you know, if she'll if she had it in her. And, you know, she was maybe 12, around maybe 11 or 12 years old. And she said, oh, yeah, Dad, I'll write. And, you know, like kids, you know, when they're young, they say, yeah, they're going to do something, but never happened. I kept pushing. I kept asking her, you going to write something, baby? And then when she turned, I think when she was around 15 years old, she was like, Dad, I'm starting to write. She's been through something, and I must clear something up real quick. She does not live with me. She lives in North Carolina with her mother, but we have a great relationship. That's why I brought that song in, Bonnie and Clyde. Even though she's not my girlfriend, I've always treated her like she is my girlfriend. Like, I open doors for her. I pull her chair out for her. And to show her that if you find a man, he has to do this times 10 for you. Because all these things I do for you anyway. Mm-hmm. So a man can't walk into your life and you give your heart to him and say, oh, well, you know, just not some regular ratchet dude to be like, oh, listen, you know, my pops treated me like a queen. He treated me like how a woman's supposed to be treated. So I would not want her to settle for less than how I treated her.
Uh-huh.
It's not all about just the money. It's more so about the treatment, the real love, the genuine love that I have for her. We have a beautiful relationship, and she's actually my mini-me. She's like, I spit her out.
Yes, I see. When I look at the picture,
yeah,
I'm
yeah.
Thinking,
yeah,
she
that's
have
my
a
baby.
Mother. I didn't know if she had a mother when I seen the picture. I was like, oh, my God.
Yeah,
she did that all by herself.
Yeah, she was a test tube. Nah, I ain't going to say that. But, nah, I cloned her.
yeah,
that's
yeah,
my baby,
good,
though.
It's a good thing. It's a good thing that you cultivated that in her. And, again, as we talked earlier about that next generation, a part of that next generation has to be us putting things into place for our next generation to come. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
Even if they don't like it, or they don't like the business that we're actually starting. I mean, I'm quite sure when Sears got started, when JCPenney got started, you know, when the Hiltons started their thing, you know, the kids probably was looking like, I don't want to help clean the hotels. I don't want to, you know, because everybody in the family had to do something until it became these great franchises that they are now.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, we have to do things that our children and their children will have and be a part of, you know what I'm saying, some type of legacy that they can say is theirs and push towards it, you know, to keep it in the family, something great in the family. So that's a good thing. So now, how was it for you to, you know, get this into the hands of the readers? Because, you know, a lot of our African-American readers now, they're into things that are more, you know, adult and, you know, different things like that. So then you pop out and you say, okay, here's a young adult novel. But, you know, a lot of young adults are reading, you know, Thugs and Women Who Love Them and
Detroit
and, you know, Till My Casket Dries. You know, they're not reading on their level. So how is that for the young adult novel with you?
Okay, see, and this is, I think we have a new breed of teens. And what was more important is, I mean, we all were teens before. And, you know, at our age, things that we were doing, they surpass that. And
right.
Sometimes as a parent, you look at them and say, oh, no, you know, they slow motion. But they actually, with the internet and TV and reality shows, a lot of them are getting misguided, and they're seeing so much so fast, and they're growing up five times quicker than we were when we were young. Like, they don't even really have a childhood. And what was important for me is some of the things that they're exposed to, they are not being taught by an adult. They're being taught by themselves, or they're being taught by the media, or they're being taught by hip-hop, or
right,
some things that they see. And when they look at their parents, they say, oh, wow, my parent is corny. Oh, you don't know what's hip. You don't know what's good. My pants sagging off my ass. Or the girls and they with the strip clubs and get money and they talking like dudes. And I mean, all these things are happening right in the neighborhood. And us as parents, we like, oh, we want to kind of not overlook it, but no, you're not ready for that. But they need to be ready. So we need to teach them. But the thing is that they have a voice. And when they try to talk to us, a lot of times parents are like, we don't want to hear that. You're going to do it this way. But in the environment that they're in, this is what they're subjected to. So I thought, I told her, I said, you know what you do? I said, tell the story about what you see or what's going on in your environment. Because it's important for parents to understand, yo, these are what my kids are seeing. This is what my kid is going through. So if she's able to talk in their language, then it'll be something that they'll, for me, it was more so talking their language and also clue the adults into it and be like, oh, okay, so let me not be blind to what's really going on. I'm thinking my child that this is not happening, you know, and it's actually happening. So if it's being told in her voice, her peers are going to read it because they're going to be just as like, well, I wonder what she wrote. Oh, wow, you did? You put it in? You put it all in like that? Yeah, she puts it in all like that. And then the second thing is that it also will show them that I can do this too. I can tell. Everybody has a story to tell. Everyone has a story to tell. So if they can tell it in their voice and then at the same time, it's a cautionary tale.
Okay.
You know, so I think that was the most important thing in getting it out as far as young adult, because although it's young adult, I put it as young adult urban fiction because it's just a peg under us, under what I'm writing. I'm going in hardcore, and hers is more like, if it's not the right word, but like soft porn, you know. It's gritty, but it's just enough for them. And to me, it would be sad if I read it. And I didn't write anything at all. I didn't help her. I just told her what to write. I said, just put it out there, and I'll get the editor in there, edit it, and, you know, kind of, you know, put it together for her. She rewrote it about two or three times. But I think she did a good job on it. Because when I read the final one, I was like, wow. Because she touches on a lot of social issues. I mean, she touches on a lot of social issues that these kids, they actually are going through. I mean, and I don't want to give it away. I'd rather people just go out and read it and be like, wow. Because I had some good feedback from it, and I'm proud.
That's a good thing. And how was the first book signing? We saw that.
Oh, that was off the charts. I'm not going to lie. Now, let me just put that out there, too. She is the first, the youngest African-American female author in her town, in North Carolina. She was in the papers. She was in the Sunday papers. She was the front page. I mean, it was a big deal. Well, I'm not going to say, yeah, it was a big deal. Yeah, fuck that. It was. Excuse me. I can mean first because this is PG right now. Yeah, it was a big deal. It was definitely a big deal. I was super excited because it was on back order. So I was only able to bring about 100 books with me, and she sold out.
Wow.
Yeah,
that's
she sold out. She sold out. And you know, for the town to be so small, like, they came out to support. And I have to say, 75% of the people that came were her peers.
That's good.
Okay.
Yeah.
Aaron, you
want
to say something?
Excuse me? No, I mean, like June was saying, that's what I was saying in the forefront of the show when I was like about the youth speaking in their own voice now, and giving back their view, you know, so we can look and see, you know, like what our kids are thinking and what they're going through and how they're looking at the world, as opposed to what we may be thinking, you know, they seeing out there, you know, because sometimes parents be thinking it's all safe, like it's all home, you know, so.
Yeah.
It's good to, especially if, like, you living in a household where the communication ain't heavy like that, that outlet of writing and doing something like that. Definitely, you know, that may be the factor to catch your parents' attention.
Right, right.
You know,
right.
And pull their eyes open as opposed to being shut.
And
just
I
seeing
also
what,
think.
What, oh, go ahead.
No, you go.
I mean, you know, I just was saying, like, you know, the kids writing and being able to express themselves, because like June was saying, like, sometimes even with communication, like, we may not be hearing them because we be thinking that it's so, like, not like that. Like, because I used to get stuff like that at home. Like, you might be trying to tell your parents something, and they'd be like, all you got to do is this. Like,
exactly.
Nah, like, you ain't hear me? I just told you these niggas had guns.
Exactly,
you know what I mean?
Aaron.
Like,
exactly.
Yeah, like, nah,
you
for
know
real.
What I'm talking about. Yeah.
Yeah, like, you can't go home to mom's and tell her the kids up the street is shooting at you. You got to, you know what I mean? Like, cause she, oh, you got to do this. You know what I mean? So, nah, for real. And then sometimes parents just think that that's not going on. Like, ain't no lie, you know, because that's not their world. Person that's living 9 to 5. Every day, getting up every day. Like, I had to realize that. Like, a person that does that every day, if you come to them and try to tell them, like, yo, look, there's no work out there. They'll be like, if you don't get out my face, like, I go to work every day. To them, that's not a reality.
Right.
That there's no work. You feel
mm-hmm.
the same thing with being a parent. A child tries to tell you something, and it's something that you can't see. Like, you're just not going to take it in. Like, if you don't go ahead, you better just do this. You know what I mean? But if you sit down and read it in a book, like, yo, my daughter sat down and wrote a whole book about this. Like, this might be going on. Going
Absolutely.
Up to the school tomorrow.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's the truth, man.
Yeah. And you know what else? This writing is also, I believe, therapeutic for
Absolutely.
The young spirit, you know, because sometimes you can't talk to your parents about certain things. Sometimes you can't talk to your peers about certain things. You don't want to be exposed, or you don't want to deal with those feelings and people's feedback. So I think that writing is a good tool for our youth to have an outlet, to have like a therapy session, because they get to see their own voice on pages. You know what I'm saying? And may even, you know, be able to resolve conflicts, and not just outside conflicts, but inner conflicts.
Absolutely.
Through writing, through seeing it. And I think that, yeah, that's a real, real good thing. I know we used it. I've been journaling since I was 10 years old. And just being able to have that outlet, like when I didn't want to talk to my parents or I couldn't talk to my parents or my peers because you don't want to be judged or you don't want to be looked at a certain kind of way, I journaled. And I still am journaling right now, you know, all the way up until the age I am now. And I think that this writing for our youth is really helping them and helping them to be literate, because, you know, just to be 16 and go through an editing process, you know, when you got these words, you got to put stuff in proper context, you got to make sure that your periods, your comments, you're learning as well, you know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
You're learning literacy, you're coming in contact with words and everything like that, which is a whole different feeling than you just telling them, go read. You know what I'm saying? It's different because now you're really embodying it and you're learning how to place words, how to use words. And it helps them with character as well, I believe. What's how you feel, Alicia?
I definitely agree. I said before, I read the book. And
mm-hmm.
I don't want to give it away, but some of the things that she put into the book, I can think
mm-hmm.
back
mm-hmm.
to 16. And say, yeah, I did feel that way. You know, some of the things, first of all, that these kids nowadays is eye-opening, some of the things that they're going through, just in
mm-hmm.
general, just middle school, between the sixth grade and the ninth grade, just some of the things that they go through just at school alone. It don't even have to be just in the neighborhoods. Just with school alone is an eye-opener. There's a lot going on. They got a lot going
right.
on in their young world. And they're experiencing a lot, and they come across a lot of different people who, you know, have gone through a lot of different things. So it's this book, as far as a young adult, they would relate to it. they would understand how it felt when you tried to talk to your parent and, you know, it went down like this. And, you know, you would be able, even an adult would be able to say, I remember how I felt that way, you know.
Right.
But as an adult, we think differently. You know, I always
right.
tell my son that, you know, you have a kid's mind. Your world is different. The way you think is different. But when you talk to adults, our mind is different. We have a different thought pattern. So when you say something, it may go over our head because we're not thinking with the same thoughts that a child would have. So I could see both sides of the coin. I could understand how she was feeling and see the things that she was going through. But at the flip side, as a parent, understanding some stuff as well. So or, as far as how miscommunication happens between children and their parents. So,
okay.
I'm
all
excited
right. That's
to
a good
talk
thing.
To her.
Yeah. I can't wait to hear her voice and see, you know, what she was actually thinking when she penned it. And she'll bring us right up to speed at, you know, her process, you know, for everything that she does. And she's going to be little Mr. June, but she'll be the girl version. So we're going to have
yeah,
the
female. Yeah, she actually is the girl version, yo. I can't even lie. She's like the girl version of me. Like, even her mom's like, and I think all females do this with their children, depending on the parent. But she always called her June. She'd be like, okay, June, and meaning to me that you're acting like this is your father reincarnated through you. You are doing things that your father
uh-huh.
would do. You speak as if you know as if your father was here. And I think that's
uh-huh.
just in the DNA. And I do one thing I do know is that, you know, I toot my horn. I love my daughter. I love all my kids. But I toot my horn with this child because at a very young age, she's very intelligent. And I know a lot of parents say that, but my daughter's very intelligent. And mm-hmm. I remember having a conversation with her when she was young. And I almost forgot how old she was when she was talking to me. I was like, yo. Like, you have me and you are having, like, a real conversation. She had to be, like, 9. And it blew me away. And her mother said, yeah, June, this is normal. The teachers, she's held in high regards in school. She was always A, B, on a roll. A thing that I think me and her mother regret today, they wanted to take her and put her, I think, in a school in Duke. I think when she was like in maybe fourth or fifth grade, they wanted to take her to Raleigh and put her in a school somewhere over in Duke. And, you know, her mother wasn't comfortable with it. She was so young. She's like, no, I don't want my baby away. And I kind of agreed with her at the time. But, you know, now, again, we were young. We were young parents. And, you know, first baby, it was my baby. I was like, listen, man, you know, my baby. But it was an opportunity. When people always say, you know, when opportunity knocks, you know, will you open the door? And that's one opportunity gone. However, I always said from that day, from that moment and me getting older, I can't regret it because maybe she wouldn't have got this opportunity here. So I always say that I push hard for all my kids, and I do it in sync. She's first. So not that all my concentration is on her, but I have to make sure that she's going to be good so that the rest of them will look up to her.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
You know, my older sister, she did this, and you know, and I want to come up behind her on her heels, either do better or be right up there with her. So I mean, it's as far as parenting, it's real important. For me anyway, it's real important to nurture and guide the kids. Me and her, we're 547 miles away from each other, and the relationship that we have, the bond that we have, is unbreakable. You know, and I can't help but say I love this girl to death. I mean, we go through our ups and our downs, but through it all, I'm the hard parent. I'm the hard parent, and she respects that about me, and I respect that she respects that. You know, because there's a lot of things she does not agree with as a teenager, as a youth. You know, Dad, you don't know. But the one thing I do know, more than anything, although I'm not there, my presence in that town is heavy because my name ring bells down there. Not to toot my horn again, but my name ring, me and her mother, actually, our names was really big in that town. So people respect that as well and her growing up. And they tell, oh, you little June. So she knows that, well,
my father is a no-nonsense type of guy, you know. And I told her, I said, I had to have a lot of love, not fear, but a lot of love, because I can come back to that town, and all those adults that call you Little June, they still hold me in high regards as far as respect. We respect each other. I had to be a good dude in order for them to still look out for her, or they'll call me and be like, yo, my senior daughter over here, yo, what's good? And I'll be like, yo, I'll call, yo, what's going on? She'd be like, yo, Dad, how you know? And I'll be like, I told you, I know more people down here than you do. You know, mm-hmm. So that was always my, you know, my thing with her, you know. Like, even though I'm not there, I'm still there.
Yeah, and that's how it got to be, and putting those strong things forward so that you leave good impressions so that your children will want to walk behind you. You know what I'm saying? So she's in the queue. She's waiting to be brought in. We're going to play her music. Then we're going to bring her right into the clubhouse. We're going to Aaron, what are you doing over there, Aaron?
I'm in hair and makeup. So what do you think I'm doing? I'm on the job. Are you kidding me?
All right. I want you to see you. Once the young lady gets in here, you go ahead and welcome her on in here, play her music, and get her started for us. We're going to let Mr. Aaron Bebo head up the investigation. Drop that beat, Aaron.
It's a Mike Go production. Look me in my eyes and try to feel my face. Do you know how it feels to be left out in the rain? Each and every day there's someone judging me. Worry about my life and how I live in these streets. Every day I wake up, got 100 different haters. Trying to get this paper stacked up like elevators. But no one really wants to hear my story. I'm living on the home, and no one really knows what the hell is going on. How I feel inside, feelings I try to hide. My daddy don't know, my mama don't care. It don't matter if I'm here, it don't matter if I'm there. So what I'm supposed to do in this cold, cruel world? Someone judging me, worried about my life and how I live in these streets. Look me in my eyes and try to feel my pain. Do you know how it feels to be left out in the rain? Each and every day there's someone judging me, worried about my life and how I live in these streets. Every day I wake up, got 100 different haters, trying to get this paper that look like elevators. But no one really wants to hear my story. That's why I'm all alone, there's no one here for me. Oh, oh, oh. Whoa.
All right, all right, all right. We are in the clubhouse.
Absolutely.
Live this evening. We have June Miller. We're going to bring in his princess, Miss Harmony Miller. She's going to tell us about her new book, Little Misunderstood.
Hey, Harmony.
Hello.
Hi.
What's going on? What's up, mama?
Nothing much.
This is Dad,
Huh? I said, this your dad.
I know. I know my daughter when I hear him.
Jill, she knows who you are. Knock it off. Knock it off. The rest of us have to introduce ourselves, not you.
Oh, my bad.
Miss Harmony, welcome, welcome, welcome to the clubhouse. You are on Writing Royalty Radio. I am Miss Nene Capri. We also have Miss Leisha, and we have Mr. Aaron Bebo, a best-selling author, in the house tonight, and he's going to jump this off, and we're going to find out your process and how this thing is going for you. Aaron?
Yes. Harmony. I'm Aaron, as Nene just said. We know you got the book, Little Misunderstood. Where did you get the concept from when you began your writing process?
Well, I figured everybody got a story to tell. And being a teen, growing up, our parents don't know certain things we go through. They don't understand. They say they understand. But everybody goes through what they go through. See, me, I felt like no one wanted to listen to my story. No one really wanted to hear me out. When I acted out, no one really wanted to understand what was going on with me. When I told them, no one wanted to listen. So I said, well, hey, maybe if I write my story and put it out there for everybody else to see, then they wouldn't have another choice but to listen and hear me out.
Mm. Yeah.
So when you finished your book, when you came to that final period, and you had completed, you know, your book, did you feel like you wanted to continue on as a writer and tell other stories as well and influence other teens as in your age group?
Yes, sir.
Since
this book has been published, I've had teens my age come up to me and ask me how was it possible and how can they do it. And I explained it to them.
Mm-hmm.
And then it changed me as a person. It made me want to change my ways, and it made me realize there's more things out here than wanting to hang with the best clique in school or wanting to be the most popular person when I could just be myself.
Right, right,
indeed.
And that's a good idea.
Now, with the other teens in your group that have come up to you and approached you about your book, outside of them being inspired by you and wanting to write, how many of them expressed to you that you captured their thoughts as well within your writing?
Many of them, actually. When I went to school and I had my book, most people already in my school already had it. I guess some had got it offline because some people I didn't even sell a book to, and they had a book. And they came up to me and they're like, it's so good. I can't wait to read the next one. Don't make us wait too long for part two. And everybody felt like they seen themselves as one of them characters in my book.
Oh, and the ones that had the book, they were the ones that probably pre-ordered it from Amazon. That's what that's where they got it from.
Okay.
Yeah,
that's a good
thing.
That's
what's up.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's
how did it feel? Oh, I apologize. Go ahead, Nene.
No, go ahead.
How did it feel during your signing when your peers were coming up to you and you were signing books for them and they were telling you, you know, how happy they were for you? And, you know, like, what was the feeling? What were you feeling at that moment when you were signing these books and getting all this positive feedback?
I accomplished something. Both my parents could be proud of.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's and that I am. I'm very proud.
That's powerful. And could you, you know, being though you have the young adults who are following you now and trying to see how they can get started, just share with them a little bit the discipline that it takes to be able to still, you know, get your good grades and everything, as well as try to do your best at editing and stuff, your novels. Could you give them a little insight on that?
Yes, to some, but some, they just want to change. Some of them already not doing good in school and all that, so they want to change, and they feel like, some feel like if they write a book, that it'll help them in school. And I don't know how that may apply. Some people feel like if they write a book and can do the things that I did, that maybe they can open up their eyes and see more. everybody has their own state of mind.
Okay. Did you have a lot of naysayers, like amongst your peers, when you were trying to write and maybe you said, I'm writing a book? Did you get a lot of naysayers or any negative feedback?
No one believed me.
No one believed you.
No one. They didn't believe you.
They didn't think you wrote it.
My dad, until it was published, no one believed
okay.
it but my.
Well, that shows a good strength in your character because you was like, okay, I'm not gonna say nothing. I'm just gonna show y'all, and that's a good thing. I'm glad that you persevered through that. What was your greatest challenge trying to get that book written? What was your greatest challenge, Harmony?
Well, I think the greatest challenge was putting about the parenting. I think that was the greatest challenge because some parents don't act like my parents, but I feel like parents are similar because you got the tough parent and you got the soft parent. You got the parent that's going to let you do what you want to do, and you got the parent that's going to lay down the rules. See, with me, it's like my mom is a soft parent and my dad just, he's strict. He don't play at all. No type of game. So yeah. I had to mix that all in there into one. And it was kind of tough.
Okay.
I have a question.
Go ahead, Leisha.
Hey,
Harmony. This is Leisha. When you started writing the book, and I read it, and I want to say congratulations because I had to just check and make sure your age was your age because it's written as if you were older than what you are, just as far as your thought process. But when you were sitting down, and you put a lot of stuff in here, but when you were sitting down and you had to write about the parenting and write about those type of things, did you kind of feel like you needed to hold back some stuff?
In certain things, yes. In certain things, no. But certain things, yes. I did.
Okay. All right. Mm-hmm. Aaron, what did you have?
No, I was going in the same direction with my question, as far as like the parenting thing, and you know, basically she said some certain parts she gave up. She didn't want to give up all the trades on mom's like, yeah, I'll be doing this. My dad find out, it's over.
Well, let me interject on that. The one thing that I told her, because it is fiction. However, what I told her was, I said she had to dig deep, and I told her in writing the story, be as authentic as possible. And even if it's about me, because there's things in there about me. I know, Leisha, if you read it, then you probably would have picked up on it. And those things, I mean, you know, me and my daughter, we talking less. Those things, I respect her putting it in there. I didn't have a bad word or anything to say. It was just, these are the things that what the teens are unable to say. And once you put it on paper, it's on paper. And that's
indeed,
you know.
Right.
And we be needing to know that as parents.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times what our children are thinking.
Oh,
but,
let me tell you one more thing. Before I cut y'all off, I just want to input one thing I think that's really important. This was in New Year's. I think it was either last year or 2 years ago, Shy. I'm not sure.
It was last year.
It was last year?
Yes, sir.
All right, you can tell them. Tell them where I took you, who you met.
Oh, I can't remember his name, but I know he writes for Cash Money.
Yeah, I took her to see Treasure Blue, and that's my dude. When I call somebody my homie, my for real homie, that's my dude. I took my daughter and her friend to his crib, and he sat down and chopped it up with her too. So I have to give him a shout out for that as well, as far as the inspiration of writing.
Okay, and that's a good thing, you know, being able to put them around other good African-American authors and, you know, just people who they can look up to that look like them is very positive, you know,
absolutely,
within itself. You know,
now
our children have enough talent.
Yeah, they have enough challenges, and they have enough trying to fit in sometimes a world or a society that they don't feel like they fit into. But then to have them love a thing, and then you as a parent to cultivate it and make sure that they meet. Like, if your child wants to dance, you make sure you get them to a lot, you know, live performances and get them around dancers. If it's whatever it is that they want to do, even an instrument, you know, any type of sport, it's up to us to cultivate it and also make sure that they're around people who look like them, who are successful, and put that into the very fiber of their existence as they move forward with their goals and their dreams. So, Ms. Harmony, moving forward, are you ready for your next book, or are you still riding on the high of this great success?
No, I already started on my next book.
Oh, okay.
That's what's up.
Now,
let me ask you, was there how determined were you to because your father already told us he didn't write none of the book, this is all you, everything, you know, how determined were you to do a good job knowing that your dad is who he is and what he's already done in literature?
Very determined. I want to be just like my dad, if not greater.
That was
my dad pushed me.
He actually wrote that in the book too. That he encourages her.
That's my role model.
That's what's up. That is what's up, for real.
Go ahead, Jim. Go ahead.
For your next book. Is it going to be a follow up to Little Misunderstood, or are you going to go in another direction?
It's a surprise.
Okay. See, yeah, that's Daddy's girl. She giving us a surprise. That's what's up. Keep that anticipation. For real.
I can tell you it's going to be good though.
Yeah. Oh yeah, we already know that. We already know that.
That's right. That's a good thing. And you make sure that you holler at us when you drop it so we can get you back on here and let them know what you have coming down the pipe. And this is a good thing. Now, with your project and your grades, how did your parents stay on you to make sure that you get those grades even though you have these new business ventures with them?
Well, again, my dad is Jewel Miller. You know, he made sure. Call the school and all. Call the school and everything. He don't play.
hey, listen. I do that for 540 something miles. I call the school and be like, "Yo, my daughter went to school today. What's going on?"
I'm on that.
I'm real proud of her. And you know, even as a sidebar, when she was much younger, do you remember Nene? She has pictures with Wahida as well, because I took her to the Harlem Book Fair too 1 year when she was up there with me. Yeah, I took pictures with her, I think it was her, JM, Eric Gray, and Wahida.
Was that 08?
No. That was more like I wasn't there. I had just brought all my kids up there. It was maybe 11 or 12.
Okay. Look at that. See, that's what I said. Having her around great minds. That's what it's about. You know, people that you can aspire towards and look up to, and that's a good thing. And a lot, you know, when you have a child like her who is very intelligent, who can articulate themselves, who can read, who can write, who can explore, whose mind now is way beyond their circumstance or their community. You know what I'm saying? Because reading and writing takes you to places that the body can't always travel with you when you need to go somewhere. That's a real good thing. That's a really, really good thing. And what we're going to do is we're going to play a clip right quick from a movie to bring home our next point. That speaks about, you know, having your peers and them being able to accept you when you are gifted and definitely talented. Aaron, drop that clip for us right quick.
Okay, Akilah, if you get this word, you'll be the winner. Fanciful.
F-A-N-C-I-F-U-L.
That is correct, and you have won Crenshaw's inaugural spelling bee.
Excuse me. Spell prestidigitation.
I'm sorry, sir, but this girl is only 11 and she has already won. Mr. Welch, what is this?
Prestidigitation. Can you spell it?
P-R-E-S-T-I-D-I-G-I-T-A-T-I-O-N. Prestidigitation.
That's correct.
Woo!
Ambidextrous.
A-M-B-I-D-E-X-T-R-O-U-S.
Pterodactyl.
P-T-E-R-O-D-A-C-T-Y-S.
Pulchritude.
P-U-D-E. Pulchritude?
That's incorrect. It's from the Latin root pulcher, and there's an H after the C.
See? She ain't so smart!
Yes, that really brings it home. Yes, that brings it home. And I think that's the reality for a lot of our youth who want to, you know, exercise their intelligence. They want to exercise their brightness, but the peers are sometimes not as accepting. And you get the bullying. You get, you know, the gossip and different things like that. Harmony, how is that in your age group right now? Could you give us a little insight to how that is with trying to be intelligent and having those, you know, those peers who don't accept that with you?
Well, at first it can be hard because everyone's doubting you and they doubt you, but then it pushes you. Well, hey, everybody think I can't do it. Well, if I do it, then what can they say? Because I did it. Now all they can mm-hmm. say is you did it. So mm-hmm. if you do it, then they can't say nothing but you did it.
That's right. That's a good thing.
I have
a
question.
Go ahead.
Harmony, in the book, you talked about the situation when you had gotten in trouble. We put that in there. Tell me what you learned. Just out of the different things you put in your book, can you tell me what you learned about yourself?
I learned that what I did do, it wasn't nothing I would normally do. I was out of character. It was something I was doing just to fit in, to follow along with everyone else. But I noticed I don't need to be like everyone else, because now everybody want to be like me.
She's a beautiful young lady. Go ahead, Aaron.
Now that you, I mean, starting out so young, which is a great blessing, and wanting to be following in your father's footsteps, are you planning on sculpting the rest of your career path towards being a full-time writer?
I could say from right now to college, because I want to go to college. I want to go to law school.
All right.
Okay.
All right. Let's go.
Where's he going?
I'm going to be waiting on you. I'll be over there. I'll be waiting for you.
Daddy gonna need some legal services.
Harmony, you make sure you send him a detailed contract too. Tell him it ain't personal.
Let them know about that contract too, boo boo. Let them know about the contract too.
Yeah.
That's a blessing. And you can do it. You can do whatever you set your mind towards. And I think that having these two strong parents on your side, you're going to be very successful. There'll be ups, there'll be downs. You know, there'll be doubters. And then all in between trying to accomplish your goals, life will happen, which is going to teach you lessons, which is going to help you grow, embrace it, you know, and move forward. Don't let nothing slow you down. I know you can do it. I'm going to be looking forward to being in the background, watching him post his little pictures and stuff at all those graduations and everything. That's going to be exciting.
Yes, indeed. I'm glad. I'm definitely glad that you got in your mind already what you want to do, and it's all positive things, because so many of our youth be getting distracted, you know, with different things. And to see that you so focused and determined and already got your path laid out before you and got good people on your side, like, that's just such a blessing. It's beautiful.
Definitely. We have a question. Miss Tony is on the line. She wasn't able to be on the show tonight because she's picking her baby up from college and moving him to another dorm. So she wasn't on the show this evening, but she wants to chime in, and she would love to ask Miss Harmony a question. Do you mind taking a call, Harmony?
No, ma'am.
Okay. Go ahead and let Tony in.
Tony.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes.
Hey, everybody.
Hey,
Tony.
Hello,
Tony.
I'm doing well. June, I'm happy to see your baby girl on the phone and on the show tonight. Harmony, this is Tony, and I am so excited to have you on the show this evening, and you sound absolutely wonderful.
Yes.
Thank you.
I just want to say I love your confidence. I love your perseverance, and you're just doing your thing. But I do have one question for you, if you don't mind.
Earlier in the show,
Risha talked about the world of readers and the world of authors. Now, I just wanted to know, now, were you a heavy reader before you became and on your way to become a well-known author?
Yes, ma'am. I always had an A-plus in English.
That's absolutely wonderful. And people said that, you know, we do need our youth to become more involved in reading, no matter what type of genre it is. As long as you pick up a book and read it, that is just so important. You know, so I'm loving the show tonight, and you're sounding wonderful, June. I'm so proud of you and your baby girl. You're obviously doing your thing over there, even though you're 540-something miles away.
I appreciate that.
You're welcome. I just wanted to chime in and say congratulations and best of luck and everything to both of you.
I appreciate
Thank you so much,
Tony.
You have a safe trip getting that baby to back and forth to his new college life.
Yeah, we're actually in Jersey right now, Nene. We're on the road, but I am enjoying the show, and I'm going to just put me back in the queue so I can continue to listen.
Thank you
so
much.
Okay, Tony, have a safe trip.
Okay, have a safe trip,
okay,
Tony.
Misty, have a safe trip.
Thanks, guys.
I do want to remind anybody on the line who is listening, if you would like to talk to Harmony, just push your one just to let us know that you had any questions for her.
Definitely.
I see y'all deep up in there. You can't speak to her. She's here. That's what she's here for.
That's right. So, Ms. Harmony, who are your favorite authors? You said that you like to read. Who are some of your favorite authors? What are some of your favorite books?
My dad.
Oh, okay.
I knew it. I was going to ask her that. I said, you read your dad's book, didn't you?
I had to. She didn't want me to, but I had to.
How did you feel after you read it? How did you feel?
She is one crazy man when he was young.
did it make you feel closer? Did it make you feel closer to your father?
Yes,
when you
I can see why I do certain things I do and why I think the way I do sometimes.
Okay,
that's what's up.
That's a good thing. That's a blessing. And it's good that you guys have that piece of art between you. So that you won't have to sit down and explain. You know, she's able to go ahead and read those written words, and she's able to assess the lessons that you want to teach her without you actually having to say them. You know what I'm saying? Or it reinforces what you already have given her and taught her. It's consistent. You know, and that's what children definitely understand is consistency. And to hear your words and then to see your words down on paper, it solidifies in her heart and in her mind that her dad is the man she definitely knows that he is and loves him for being. So that's a good thing. Glad you're able to share that with each other.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I remember a time when she first understood that I was an author. I'm real humble. I don't really put myself out there like I'm this great writer, but I remember her telling me, said, "Dad, you're famous." And I was like, "What do you mean?" You know, she said, "Oh, my, you know, I tell my friends in school, my father's an author." And then she's like, "Daddy, you on Google? You on Amazon? Like, your name comes up." You know what I'm saying? So that to me, it was the, like, beyond anything else, to have her tell me that is what pushes me to push her. Mm-hmm. Because now it's the flip side. Now I'm saying, "Hey, baby, look at you. You're a big deal," you know. And in her town, I have to be so honest, like, in her town, and if I'm wrong, Harmony, you correct me. In her town, her stock went up, I think, like 100.
Mm-hmm.
Since her publishing the book. I mean, the town is not that big, but it's pretty well known in North Carolina, and well, in the surrounding cities in North Carolina.
Right. And that's a good thing. That's a good thing. And it helps build self-esteem, like you said, in character, and that's good. It's powerful, too. And hopefully, you know, the young girls are watching her and saying to themselves that I can do something, even if it's not writing, because, you know, some people might not have that same desire, but it may be something else inside of them that they thought to themselves for a brief moment, I probably can't do it. And then to see her, you know, complete that task, I think it's going to put a nice positive spin on the minds of her peers, you know, that know her in school and, you know, around her community. So that's a good thing. And she's very intelligent. You seem to have done a very good job, you know, parenting and co-parenting with her mother. We give her some shout out and some praise because, you know, she's half you and she's half of her. So we know that she has to claim a portion of this success. And I know she's right there, you know, pushing her, reinforcing your rules and your laws and, you know, the different things that you guys want for her going into womanhood. So, yes, shout out to Mom. And, you know, Mother's Day is coming up. I know it's a good celebration year for her with her baby dropping a book and doing well in school. So congratulations to her for supporting her baby's dream.
Yeah, shout out to Mom, staff, teachers.
Okay.
It's not the same. What's her name?
No, go ahead,
June. What's her name?
Shout out to Sarah Peaches.
Okay.
Okay.
That's right. That's a good thing.
My
go
baby
ahead.
Mama.
Leisha, do you have a question?
Yes, I am going to say shout out to teachers, too, because I've read about the 5:30, and it's funny because I do the same thing. Honey, Harmony, how did you feel at 5:30 in the morning? When she came in.
Harmony.
Still on the line? Or did they send her the hair and makeup?
Harmony, you doing hair and makeup?
Hold up. I think her call dropped. Let me see if she called back in.
She's 2-5. All right,
I see her. I got her.
That.
Yeah, she should be back.
Okay. Is she back in?
Oh, there she is. Harmony? Hello?
Hey.
Okay. I was saying, I don't know if you heard me, but I was saying, shout out to your mom, Peaches, because I do the same thing. How did you feel at 5:30 when you looked up and she was in your room?
I was upset. I didn't know what was going on. It was too much going on at one time for me. I don't wake up 5:30 in the morning.
It's so funny because I do that. When I read that, I had to laugh because I do the same thing. It'd be bright and early. The lights on. Come on. Let's do some things.
Let's get it popping, right?
So
Aaron,
June,
do you have any other questions or insight? Go ahead.
I got a publishing question I want to ask June.
Mm-hmm.
Do you plan to publish any more young adult novels? And when I know you had a chance to get down, and I see you at the book signing. Would you sign any of her peers? Have you thought about that?
Well, yeah. Prior to her submitting her manuscript to me, I sat her down and I kind of explained to her the business aspect of it, saying that it's not just about writing, you can also be an entrepreneur behind this. I told her, I forecasted that because of her age and because of the environment that she's in and her peers, I said by her publishing her first story,
it will open up floodgates for some of her peers. And if any one of her peers want to submit a manuscript, I said I would do it under her, give her like a imprint, and have her have on Foreshadow have an imprint for just young adult fiction under her.
Yeah, that's awesome. I was thinking about that. I thought about that when she was talking. I said, boy, she would do really good trying to mentor and publish her peers. So that energy is already in the universe, and it seems like she's going to be able to get that done. That's awesome.
Yeah, just a small note is that while I was down there, I did have a couple of youth come up to me and ask me, like, what's the process, and, you know, I handed out my business card, and me and Harmony will sit down, and, you know, because I know it's a process, and, you know, when people do say, you know, like, again, it's the youth, they'll say, this is what I want to do, but they have to be dedicated, and they have to be focused on doing it. Just seeing her as far as coming down there and doing a book signing and setting it up, it was done at the Boys and Girls Club in North Carolina. And just the turnout itself, you know, to me was the inspiration for the rest of them. Like, wow, we can do this too. So hopefully this is something that she can pioneer and give the teens down there at least another avenue to go down, opposed to what they're exposed to. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That's what's really important at the end of all of this. The most important thing is, because we lose our youth to a lot of different things. Like, for instance, you lose them to gang violence, or you lose them to no education. You know, thinking that, well, I don't want to go to school, I'm gonna hang out on the corner, or I'd rather hustle, or I'd rather do this to get money, and show them that there's a different ways that you can acquire legal tender. You know, it's a way that you can do it, and you can do it without having to watch your back. You know, even though it's not fast money, it can be, but it's not fast money, but it's something that you can respect, and you can walk down the street. You don't have to worry about the police pulling you over. You don't have to worry about them questioning you, stopping you, and saying, well, what are you doing standing here? You know, so that's really, really giving them a different avenue to go down. You know, people are going to make choices. You know, everybody's going to make their own decisions, but just have different opportunities available to them so that they can pick and choose.
Yeah. Let me ask you another question. From publishing, going through the publishing process with Harmony and just experiencing, you know, the young adult market, and this, especially reading her work, has it piqued your interest more in young adult fiction and what's going on with our youth?
Yeah. The thing is that from my standpoint, I remember when I first published my first novel, and I remember what very well known author told me. He said, "Yo, this is a good book." He said, "But you have to write for the women, because women are 85-90% your readership." And I stuck with. I said, "Listen, I'm not doing it for the money right now. So I'm doing it because I have a story to tell." In the same token, now I'm looking at the youth. I used to give my books away. I told, you know, to young dudes in the hood, I was like, "Yo, listen, take this." Not, they didn't pay for it. I said, "Take this." They was like, "Man, I don't read." I said, "Listen, I don't care if you read or not." I said, "Do me a favor." I said, "Take this and put it in the bathroom. When you go in there to handle your business, pick it up and just start reading it." I know about 10 or 15 dudes that after, you know, it moved from the bathroom into their bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So now with the youth, I think it's the same thing. It's a difference in when we were younger, we didn't have young adult fiction. I was reading Chester Hines. You know, I think I was 14. I was reading Chester Hines. I started off with Richard Wright, Black Boy, but I graduated to Chester Hines and Iceberg Slim and, you know, Donald Goins. Those were like the Red Fox or the Richard Pryor, the books back then. You weren't supposed to be caught reading those. So now, with young adult fiction, what I'm thinking is that putting it in their voice will open up a market for them. They can still read adult fiction, urban fiction. However, they can read more along the lines of something that they are readily relatable to, where they can relate to it now, mm-hmm. opposed to the stories that we would tell. Our stories are told from a more mature level. We got to mm-hmm. get them from growth, from the, you know, the more authentic growth of, well, this is what's going on right now today, 2014. It's so similar to what we write about today. Just toned mm-hmm. down a little bit, but it's so similar. And I think that if we open up that market, it will kind of mold the teens in a different aspect, opposed to just the slamming them into the urban fiction. Yeah, they're going to gravitate to that as they get older. But mm-hmm. for right now, you know, to me, it's like they don't have youth. The things like, you know, if I take our way back to when we was doing Skelly and you know, they was doing jump rope, and, you know, when you go outside, it wasn't all about video games and YouTube and watching fights on YouTube and reality shows where sometimes the women are portrayed in such a negative light. But
right.
You have to give them something positive within mm-hmm. what they're going through right now.
Yeah, and what you're saying that, you know, I would like to ask Harmony, like, from her view, from her age group, how does she feel about, you know, the violence and, you know, the fighting videos and different things that are portrayed on the Internet? How do you feel about that, Harmony?
I mean, I don't know, stuff like on WorldStar, it'd be fun. Today had a little fit. I can't lie. Some of it do be funny, but the stuff that I know be real, mm-hmm. some of it just be, it be too much. It just be mm-hmm. a show.
Right, right. Do you feel like a lot of people your age are misunderstood, that we just don't get you guys? Like, we just don't understand you?
Yeah.
Okay. Say yes. Go ahead.
I just feel like sometimes it's our fault because we don't try to make y'all help us to understand it. Now we don't try to help y'all understand it.
Okay, so you think it's definitely a disconnection between your generation and your parents' generation, like a disconnect, like not really trying to even see what it is that you guys are definitely calling out for, crying out for?
Yes.
Okay. What do you think would help with that? How do you think you would be able to help, you know, bridge that gap?
I feel parents should know their kids. When a child has something going on, they got something on their mind, I feel like a parent should automatically be able to tell. But sometimes it's just the lack of communication.
Okay.
Not talking to your parent or not having a bond with your parent to the point where when something goes wrong, you don't even want to tell them, or you're scared mm-hmm. how they might react.
Okay, okay. And is that a lot going on with your peers? Like, when you guys sit down and talk, is that happening, like, across the board? Or is it more households like yours where people are able to actually speak, you know, to their parents?
Well, most teens my age that I hang around, mm-hmm. they don't listen to their parents. They don't talk to their parents. They don't mm-hmm. really obey by their parents' rules. So
okay.
I never met a teen that parents fully get them and everything is just understandable. I never seen that.
Wow. That's powerful.
That tells you the state of our teens. And you know, I almost feel like I'm on a mission with this because mm-hmm. outside of my daughter, you know, I have three other children. And again, I love them all. However, I'm in Brooklyn, and I see a lot of things. And the things that I see when it comes to our youth is that there's a lack of respect. The YouTube, like when you brought up the YouTube, it's like what she said, I can't lie, it's funny. Now, mm-hmm. I remember my son, you know, saying, yo, Dad, watch this. And I always be like, it's not funny. But for them, it's funny because it's on YouTube. So they're desensitized by violence to a degree. until it's up mm-hmm. close and personal. So I think sometimes they go in blindsided with, well, it's not real, because I even heard kids tell me, like my son say, oh, yeah, you know what? They kind of act out some of these things that's on World Star Hip Hop, like the script,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
And even though it's real, even though it's real, it's scripted. You have a guy, I don't know, I forgot what those young dudes was that used to do the crazy stuff, and they said, don't try this at home or whatever. It's almost like that, yeah, do something crazy, even though it's going to hurt, but guess what? You're going to get, like, a billion likes on YouTube for it.
That's crazy.
Yeah,
that's crazy. Cause I seen a girl the other day, two girls fighting, and the girl was pinning her up, and then she threw a shovel, hit the girl in the head. Flying.
Yeah.
I said, what in the world? My mother, the first thing my mother was like, she could have killed her. You know what I'm saying? She hit her on the side of the head where it's very sensitive. Even if it is staged or they're playing or whatever, they have to know that that is very dangerous. You know,
right.
If nothing else, that is very dangerous. And, you know, at the end of the day, the things that you do on social media and things like that, that stuff will live forever. You know, so you have to be very, very careful what you do on social media, how you share information, how you put yourself out there, because it's going to follow you, especially if you're trying to go to college, if you're trying to have jobs. Like, jobs and colleges are looking back. If they can see anything with you engaging in any type of ratchet behavior, they won't accept you in school. They
Absolutely.
Won't accept you on jobs. And
Absolutely.
I think that our youth definitely need to know that as they move forward, like, these are tender ages. They're even saying that your record, your juvenile record, will now carry into adulthood. It won't be sealed. So even with, you know, small choices that you make, if it's shoplifting, if it's fighting, if it's anything like that, you have to make choices and decisions that will help you grow further. You know, when you get finished experimenting with the world and you say, okay, I'm serious now, and the
exactly.
world takes a look at your at your social resume, as
exactly.
I say.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And they're like, oh no, you can't work here, or no, you can't attend this. So
that's
important.
And not to cut you off, but that's the 1% that you're talking about. Like, you know, like, even when it comes down, like, a lot of people fail to realize that because everyone has a story to tell, and people give you those rag to riches stories. Like, oh yeah, I did like 30 years in jail, and then I came out and got rich. Okay, cool, fine. That's like a 1% thing. It's not like everyone that goes to jail comes
right.
home and get rich. That'll be
right.
that one person that is so
right.
dedicated, and it's who they know, and it could be a windfall for them. They lucked up. I always look at it as where my daughter is at now. The biggest problem that I realized, again, she had her book signing at the Boys and Girls Club. Tell them what the cutoff age is for the Boys and Girls Club, Harmony.
I think it's 12.
Okay.
Whoa.
Now,
Damn.
you tell me, what are the 12-year-olds or the 13-year-olds are going to do if there's nothing to do?
Hmm.
I never forget. I came down there, me and my cousins, we rode down there. And as I rode through, I looked, I said, yo. I said, my daughter going to get in trouble, man, because ain't nothing for her to do out here but get in trouble.
Hmm.
Because the thing is that they don't have anything for the youth. They don't have anything. Okay, if you're not into – everyone is not into sports.
Right.
So you have to have something else for these teens that we don't want to rob them of their youth. We don't want to rob them of having fun or whatever it is that they do. However, we don't want to create a negative environment that's going to be so hard for them to get out of by the time they become adults.
You know what? That's what you said a mouthful, and to see that they promote that the Boys and Girls Club is one of the biggest promoted clubs. You know, you have Denzel Washington, you have
exactly.
different stars who say that they came from this club and they became something great. And then to look and see that a criteria was shut off at such a tender age when you need to have an indoor activity to group them in, to have them doing something. But, you know, since she's in a small town, I just had the thought, you know, you might be able to even protest to their board to have a teen night, you know, to have maybe some teen events where you
Absolutely.
Do workshops. Maybe she can even do workshops with the girls who want to write or whatever. It might be something that she can pioneer that could probably spread and get more people interested, just as a thought.
But let's put that on the table and see if that's something that we could even work towards with our own, you know, boys and girls clubs within our neighborhood. But we have a caller with their hand up that wants to get in this conversation. Aaron, if you could bring that caller in so we can further this conversation because it's going really, really well.
315, good evening. You are live with the Right and Royalty crew, June and Harmony Miller. Who are we speaking with?
Author Destiny Henry.
Excuse me?
Hey, Destiny Henry.
Destiny?
Hello,
hi,
hey, Destiny. How you doing?
I'm doing well.
He's
how
one
are
of
you?
Leo Sullivan's authors.
Oh, okay. Welcome.
Hi,
welcome
Destiny.
To the clubhouse.
Thank you. Thank you. I've heard everything that you are saying, and it's very inspirational, being that I am, like, 24.
Mm-hmm.
I see a lot of things in my neighborhood because I'm in a small city, and I see a whole lot of violence. So I can totally understand how, you know, these kids can get wrapped up in thinking that it's cool when it's actually not.
Okay.
And even at my age, we don't have too many role models, somebody that we can look up to that can say, don't do that or don't do this. That's why with my writing, I decided that I'm going to be a role model for someone underneath my age, my sisters, my nephews, my nieces.
Absolutely.
Just someone that I can show them that, you know, this is the right way you need to live, not following what the crowd may show you.
Absolutely. 100%
right.
Agree with you.
That's right.
Do you have a question for Harmony or June?
I do. Ms. Harmony, what's your book? Because I know with each book, each author, you have a favorite character. So what would be your favorite character?
Missy.
Why would she be your favorite character?
You said why?
Yes.
Because she's misunderstood. And at the end, well, I don't want to give it away, but soon everybody will understand her.
Okay. So she's like the example of your inner thoughts of being misunderstood.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you, Ms. Destiny, for calling and having, you know, some questions and interactions with our wonderful guests. And we wish you continued success on your literary journey. And please, please hit us anytime.
Yes, indeed.
Thank you, Destiny.
Yeah, I had a question because I'm glad. It's funny because my stepdaughter, she lives in North Carolina. And it's funny because whenever we would ask her, what did you do? And she would say nothing. I was like, I'm sure they got something for them to do. And I'm listening to Harmony talk, and it's like they probably don't have anything for her to do.
Mm-hmm.
But to hang out and get in trouble.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really nothing to do. We have two basketball courts. We have a gym. We have a gym. And we got a skate track, but it's far. Like, it's a ways. You can't walk there or nothing. Like, it's a ways. And the flight really go there. So everything that's really here is really dead except for the movies.
Okay. So that means you got some work to do, huh, Ms. Harmony? You gotta get some things going down there, huh?
Yes, ma'am.
Don't put the world on your shoulders, but you got your head on right. We need young women like you who are powerful and who are intelligent that can help carry this cause.
Yes, indeed.
Absolutely. I'll be sending her your book. She's in Durham, but I'm going to send her your book so she can read it.
Me? You send it to me? Yes, please.
I'm
going to
send my stepdaughter Harmony's book. Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. That's going to be great. That's going to be great. I have to get my one click on. Go ahead, Aaron.
Harmony, do you, since releasing your book and seeing, you know, the response you got, do you feel a greater responsibility than the other kids in your age group, or do you just still feel the same? Like, you're still normal. You live in, you know, how you were before the book came out.
No, I feel like a responsibility came with it.
All right, that's what's up.
What kind of responsibility? Listen, I'm the interviewer, right? Yeah.
Don't be badgering the witness.
She gonna be a lawyer. She gotta get used to that. I know. I just wanted to know, like, what kind of responsibility do you think comes with being a published author, and the first female and the youngest female African American author in your town.
Exactly.
I mean. What responsibility do you think comes with that as far as you now today opposed to before you was published?
Because now everybody expects more of me because they know I could do more. And I got little siblings too. And I'm pretty sure one day they're going to want to be just like me, if not better. So in order for them to be better than me, I got to be doing good so they could be better.
That's right. That's right.
Absolutely.
That's awesome. So with that said, and her talking about her tomorrow, play that tomorrow for me, Aaron. Drop that beat.
Get up, get out, get out.
right.
Yes.
Yes,
awesome.
Yes. Our tomorrows are very, very important. And I'm happy to see that people like Ms. Harmony is spearheading, you know, some of the great things that we have to look forward to in our tomorrows. And we thank you, you know, June Miller, for making sure that her tomorrow is brighter since she is able to, you know, chase these dreams and follow these dreams. Harmony, can give a word of advice to your peers and, you know, people in your age group. What advice do you have for them while they're trying to accomplish these goals?
Keep pushing and never give up and never say I can't.
Hmm. Okay. That's right. That's right. Speak it into the universe. That's right. And let me ask you something. In schools, you know, what do you think they could do a little bit better to make sure that some of your dreams and stuff are accomplished? What do you think would be better in the educational system today?
If they gave tutors.
Hmm. Okay. Okay.
My school don't get tutors.
Okay. So if a child is struggling in a subject, they're just struggling, huh?
And they can't get no one-on-one help.
Wow.
Wow.
Are the classrooms still really full? Are they really full in your town? I know your town is small. Is the classroom still full?
Yeah, we have like at least 23 to 25 students in one class.
Which makes it hard for the teacher to really get around and help people. And definitely one-on-one, you can forget about it because, you know, they have to teach that one, you know, curriculum that they want them to meet. And it makes it hard. They said it's really only supposed to be about 15 kids to a class. So if you have anything over 15, and imagine some classes in some neighborhoods have 30 and 40 children.
Brooklyn.
Brooklyn. Yes. Yes. I'm from New Jersey. I'm telling you, I had to take my niece back, and I walked into her classroom. It was like some of the kids didn't even have nowhere to sit. I mean, they was just. I was like, Lord, have mercy. Who's monitoring this process? And why is it happening? They up talking because the 10 kids who can't get the one-on-one help that they need are acting out. So
exactly.
Those kids, yeah, mm-hmm. They're interrupting everybody else's process. And the teacher is spending so much time being a disciplinarian that when it's time to get the lesson across, now the bell done rang.
No one, exactly. that is the, that. And you know what, Nene, they got what they do here in Brooklyn. Is they call them paras, which they give them, it's a teacher, and then it's another, like a assistant teacher inside the classroom, and that teacher is supposed to be like policing the ones that are bad, that's disruptive and all that. But it's like 30 students in class here.
Isn't that something? And then you look at the fact that a teacher, even the teacher's aide, because the kids nowadays are so disrespectful. They don't care what your title is. They don't care who you are. They're spending time trying to keep them quiet so the teacher can teach the students that are actually engaged. And if you have a child who's on the cusp of being disengaged, they're getting pushed further into,
exactly.
You know, going that other direction because they're like, you know what, I was trying to pay attention, but forget it.
Yeah, I
give up. And the children who are acting out are getting more of the attention. You know what
because
I'm saying? They're getting more.
They're the clowns. Those are the ones you're going to laugh at. That's the ones that's going to take what the teacher's teaching you. You're like, ah, yeah, whatever. But, yo, this dude right here, he's funny. Whoa, he just laughed. It's a big distraction.
Right.
And the bad part about it is that they, at that age, they don't understand how much they're missing out.
Right. Yep. Right. Mm-hmm. Right. Until they get our age and be looking back like, boy, I wish I had a shoulda, coulda, woulda, did it when I had the chance.
Yeah. Yo, that's the truth,
you know?
Man.
After that, it's like, way too late. Yes. So you have your next book, Ms. Harmony. I know you said it's a big, fat secret. But can you just let us know, like, what are you trying to convey next? I mean, you have where you're trying to show how our youth are misunderstood and people don't really get your voice. They don't understand, you know, where you're coming from and your voice. What other lessons are we looking forward to getting from your next novels?
Let's see. Okay, the lesson for next novel is how it's going to be basically on how it is growing up in the project life, not having much, growing up off little, and then off food stamps and welfare, stuff like that, like the struggle. It's going to basically be about a person or a character
it's going to be a character trying to reach his goals and his dreams by having a little money to do so.
Right, right, which is a huge reality, you know, for our youth.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it really is. It really is, and you can pull out of that. You know what I'm saying? A child like myself, I know your dad, you know, Aaron, all of us came from, you know, those types of lifestyles, you know, being in the projects, being in the street, you know, even though our parents would work and try to give us the best and try to teach us the best, we came up in those days where it ended up being those one-parent households. It came from out of the 60s when you had those two-parent households into the 70s where, you know, they coming back from Vietnam and, you know, the drugs is rampant and, you know, everybody's going to prison. So now you got that single-family household and nobody, you know, to really watch a child. And you know, the parents were struggling and trying to do their best with very little. And now I can imagine how it is for this generation of youth who are the children of the ones who were born into that crack era, you know.
Exactly.
So then their resources and different things like that are even less, you know, because our parents, they were struggling, but we still had everything. Like, we still were clean and pressed, and, you know, our parents made sure we were bathed and we had a square meal. Nowadays, it's like McDonald's and TV dinner and I hope I see you, you know.
Every man for themselves.
You're like, good Lord, parents passing kids in the hallway. Hey, how you doing? All right, okay, see you next week. You know, it's like, you know.
or you might get the one that be like, yo, you got a blunt? Yo, let's go fire that up.
And
yo, that's a reality, because the bad part about it is, to me, is that, you know, from my era, and I'm not going to talk about my background, but from my era, what I learned was, I'm gonna just say this, because Harmony heard this story from me a million times, but I told her, she is the reason for my change. You know, that's why I take so much time out with her. I believe that's why God made her look like me, and mm-hmm. He gave me a daughter, because she was supposed to be a boy. But she was my change, and that stopped everything for me. Like, I dropped every single thing I was doing, and I said, I have to be a better parent, because it's not just me anymore. Like, me, I live wild. I was like, I'll do what I do, man, and that's what it is. But once she came into the world, my whole, like, the epiphany, it was like, yo, now I got this little girl. Man, I don't want her to see me with no braces on my wrist or me in no coffin. And, you know, I said, I got to give her something better than what I had. And mm-hmm. I was at the top of my game at the time, and I was like, listen, you give all this up. I'm giving back to my baby. I'm going to make sure that I become a good parent. Not every parent is able to do that. You know, I lost a dear friend to the street, so I know how difficult it is, and
mm-hmm.
I'm just one person. I'm not no father of the year or nothing. I don't even care about no father of the year. My thing is that I just wish that a lot of parents or brothers, forget the females at this moment, not forget y'all, but there's a lot of brothers that don't realize how important it is to give their child that male role model, positive though.
Absolutely.
You know, instead of it being a single parent. Even though we 547 miles, if I'm lying, she on the phone, our relationship is concrete, you know? You
mm-hmm.
know, me and her, we have a concrete relationship. And it's over the distance, but there is no distance. There is
mm-hmm.
no distance. Because if she needs me, I'm going to always be there, you know. So I just mm-hmm. wish that, you know, for the change, like we talk about it, but, you know, the change is, you know, everybody say change is good, but the change is really difficult. And we all have to, you know, do it collectively.
Mm-hmm. Be a part of the change, yeah. Don't,
yeah, we got to be doing it as a unit.
You can't do everything, you know, but within your power, within your reach, you know, what is close to you,
you
know
what I'm saying? Make the difference, yeah.
Make the difference, that's right. That's right,
absolutely.
And that's what it's about. Aaron, you have any, we're coming to a close. You have any final statements or points you'd like to bring home?
I'm just really proud of Harmony, and definitely, you know, the fact that it's a connection with June is even greater, because I already know what he's about as far as his work and everything, and just him as a man. And I know, you know, she's gonna bring forth great things. She's been speaking well tonight. She knows mm-hmm. that she has a responsibility, so she has awareness. You mm-hmm. know, and I just want to see her continue and inspire other people her age, because it's better for her to speak to her generation, because they're gonna listen to her better. They're like she can, you know, get to communicate better with her generation than we can. And hopefully we can all get on the same page and be up to speed, and nobody won't be misunderstood anymore.
Kaboom, nigga.
Yes. Yes.
That's what I do have it for. He just dropped that.
That's what we pay Aaron to do. That's what we pay Aaron to do around here.
Aaron, he just dropped. Yo, this dude is so prolific, man. I swear, I rise with that dude, man. That's my good word, man. That's my good
Thank
word.
You,
good
real.
Dude, man. You already know, but I ain't got to go into that. But you know me, you're a politic long already. So it's not a lot of dudes like you, though, fam. I'm gonna tell you that at the gate, man. You already know, and I stay one way. So,
and yes, you do indeed, for real.
Nene, I got so much love for you. I remember that day I met you, man. You,
I know, you were so awesome.
No, you was you. Like, who are you? I was like, who am I? Nene, I know you though. I was like, I know who you is though. That don't even matter.
I know. I was like, oh. That's what's up.
I stay on top of everything, yo.
That's a blessing. Somebody got to do it.
Yeah, I do this for real.
Yes, I hope we get to. Really, really soon, Miss Harmony. We see you at one of these bigger literary events, signing your titles, getting this word out. Do you have any final words to your readers, to your supporters, you know, to your peers?
Thank you for supporting me, and I thank you guys for letting me be on your show. I appreciate it.
Thank you for coming, Princess.
Thanks
for letting us be the first one to give you this online, on-air interview. We appreciate you.
This is the first.
Yes, this is
breaking news.
Yeah, I'm so glad. I'm so glad you, I was able to do it with you guys, man. I really appreciate it, man. I mean, from the bottom of my heart, because this is really big for me. Like, I remember last time I spoke with Aaron, he was asking, does it make you feel like you got to go harder now? So, for like, everything in me is to push this to the pinnacle now, you know, and I'm going to go in like 10 times harder for her, because I mean, success is right there at her reach. So I'm going to do everything that I possibly can to keep the engine oiled and running. I ain't running out of no gas.
That's right. That's right. If you have anything new coming, make sure you hit us up so we can blog about it, so we can talk about it on the radio. If she has any tour events or anything coming up, you know, blast those out. And let us know so we can help with the cause. Again, we thank you. We thank our callers. We thank all those who have supported Miss Harmony Miller. Make sure you one-click. She is on Amazon. One-click her Little Miss Understood paperback as well, so we can get that word across to our youth and try to understand them a little bit better. Good night, everyone. Thanks for joining us. Aaron, drop that closing beat. Miss Harmony, congratulations. Can't wait to see the pictures of you walk across them stages. I'm waiting. Thank you, June.
Thank you. Thank y'all again. Appreciate it.
Yes, thank
love you. Guys.
Love you, Harmony.
I love you too, Dad. Call me.
All right.
Good night.
Good night.
Crying out, still close to giving up, feeling weak. comfortable.